Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. We just praise you, Father. Always, we just praise you for everything, Lord, because everything that happens in our life is for a reason. And Lord, I thank you for what you're showing us as far as what faith is. I thank you, Lord, that we all have faith in this last time. And I praise you, Father, that if we don't understand what faith is, that we seek it out in the Word of God. And I praise you for it, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that tonight we're going to be led by your Spirit and talk about the things that you want us to talk about that are necessary in the kingdom of God. And I praise you, Lord, that it's going to be exactly what you want and not what we want. In Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, for an open heaven. I praise you, Father, for this open heaven, because I know that when we pray and our prayers are answered, every one of them. And Lord, I thank you for giving us the faith that when we do pray, that we believe. And we keep on believing. And we thank you for enduring in our faith to the end. And I praise you for it, Father. Lord, thank you that tonight's going to be an awesome night. It's going to be a night of discussion, revelations. And not only that, Lord, it's going to be a night that will help a lot of people. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Amen. All right. Has anybody got a prayer request tonight? All right, yeah, Missy.
My 3-year-old granddaughter Blake, she had a little more than 2 years ago, she had tubes put in her ears. The one fell out. The other day they had to take her for a doctor's appointment because she had an ear infection in the one where the tube didn't fall out yet. And they could see it in there, but they didn't have anything small enough to get in there and pull it out or whatever. So I don't know if that's being the issue or whatever, but in the name of Jesus, I command that tube to come out of her ear and forbid any more ear infections. Her ear is healed in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for doing the same for Maverick. No more ear infections. He will not need to get tubes in his ears. In Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord.
Amen. We speak to those ears as Amen. Being healed completely. Amen. Never a problem with them again.
Amen.
Thank you,
thank
Father.
You,
in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Anyone else? I want to pray for a guy down here that I met the other day. David and I both met at the same time. He'd been waving big at me. And we stopped at a young man. We stopped to talk with him. And he had just gotten out of rehab, you know, just a few months ago. And, well, possibly maybe about a year ago, year and a half ago. And his dad built him a house down, or he built a house on his dad's property down there. And we stopped and talked with him and gave him a Sovereign God book. We asked him, you know, if he was a Christian. He said, oh, yeah. I said, I accepted Christ in rehab. And he's going to a Baptist church. And, of course, we talked with him. And I told him, I said, you know, I'm going to get that. Would you like a book? Oh, yeah, yeah. And I said, well, let me tell you something about the Word of God. We have the Word of God as a standard. And when that Word of God comes against our theology, you know, which one are you going to go with? Of course, he gave the right answer, the Word of God. I said, yeah. So with that in mind, I'm going to give you this book called Sovereign God and let you go through it, because it's got, I believe it's over 2,500 verses in it to explain God's sovereignty. And he said he'd be glad to read it. Anyway, Lord, I just lift up James to you, and I thank you, Lord, for anointing that book, that every time he picks it up and reads something out of it, that it would just click with him, and that you would anoint him to receive and to open up his spiritual eyes and spiritual ears to the truth of the gospel. And I praise you, Father, for doing that for James. Seemed like a real nice young man. And I thank you for it, Father, for doing that, opening his eyes, and maybe he'll open up his father and mother's eyes too, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for a great, mighty work that you're doing in James. Amen. I believe it. Got that quantum faith working already. Glory to God. Okay. Anyone else? I'll say this right off the get-go. Tomorrow night would be a great time to listen to the broadcast, to the stream. David's going to talk about some things that are going to be needed for y'all to hear, and I think you'll it'll be a great help to a lot of people, and a good amount of info that he's going to give out tomorrow night. So, if you can, be on. If you can't, listen to it at some other time. I think we're going to record it, best of my knowledge. All right. Anybody got anything they want to comment or talk about? Yeah, Joe. I've got something I want to talk about tonight before we get into anybody else. But Joe, go ahead.
I just didn't want something to talk about. I just need to. Well, I to need to tell you all. Remember, I asked for prayer for a guy. I'm did take to the Eye Institute on Tuesday, and well, I did take him and. He's gonna some laser thing done on his eye. So when it's quite a distance from my home, so I go and pick him up and drop him off. So I thought to myself, maybe I should wait for him before I come home, because it's quite a distance to come back home and then go on later again, because it's quite a it took some time. But he said 3 to 4 hours for that operation or whatever they're gonna do. And then come up. So I was sitting there and I was thinking about maybe I should go home and then come back later. And things is quite a distance. So I think, no, maybe I'm not. No, maybe just sit. So I just think to myself, okay, now let me sit. Let me get my cell phone out there undercover parking. Put my cell phone out. Listen to David. I was just starting to listen to David. When he phoned again, he says, no, but I already finished. So. Lord saved me a lot of trouble from going home and back, and
Amen.
The Lord led me without even asking him. So this is amazing how Father look after us. So I don't have to ride home. So it was a quick up and down. So I haven't given him a book yet because he can't really read now with his eyes operation. So now I'll give him a book probably in a couple of days. So that's all I want to say. Thank you.
Praise God. Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, it is an awesome God that we serve. Anybody else? Okay, here sometime last year, I think it was in November sometime, David and I both talked about quantum faith. Does anybody remember anything about what we talked about? Okay, Pat, can you tell me what I talked about? Or would you mind doing that?
You talked about quantum faith.
What is quantum faith? The reason I'm asking is because we're in a time frame right now where faith is imperative. So that's why I want to talk about faith tonight and quantum faith.
I think the thing about quantum faith that I would say in a nutshell, the thing that I got from it was that we create our own reality by our faith, by our believing in something. And our faith brings it into existence. And some of the specifics, obviously, that David has been teaching us over the years related to speaking forth in agreement with our faith, is a integral part of that process, which will bring that faith or that object of our faith into physical reality. But the fact that our faith, that we have faith and spoken in agreement with that faith, that thing is in existence now. So I think that's kind of the nutshell of what I believe quantum faith is.
Amen. Yeah. I remember reading about quantum faith, and that the thing that struck me as science, the Bible proven science, or science proven the Bible, is actually Bible proven science, is that when you look at those subatomic particles that are like a cloud, it says you can look at them and they're like a cloud out there. And everybody that looks at it or gets close to it, it reacts in a different way. It reacts in a very different way. And what that told us was this, is that it can react negatively or it can react positively. It can react. If you have a, let me say it this way. If you have a life that you're always confessing a bad report, you look at it and that subatomic particle is going to go in that direction. That's what's going to happen. That's going to make you stay in that particular operation. But if you have a positive outlook on everything and you speak it and you confess it, that subatomic particle does something else. In fact, it goes to the positive side of things, and everything in your life is directed by what you say and what you do and what you, how you react to things. Let me say this. One of the ways they said it like this. If you have in your family, if you have a lot of turmoil and fight and all of this kind of stuff, it's going to be negative energy everywhere. Negative energy everywhere. That's why they call it negative energy. But if you have love, you have God, you have all of these other things, then everything's going to be flowing smoothly in your life. And what that taught me was this right here, is that when Jesus spoke, things happened. Like when he spoke to the fig tree, remember that? He spoke to the fig tree, they came back, and one of the disciples said, "Jesus, look at this. See, man, that thing done did. What happened to it?" And Jesus said, "I could tell you, but you wouldn't understand it right now." And what he was talking about was his faith. You can't understand faith until you understand faith. They didn't understand faith at the time, but with the Holy Spirit came, they could understand it more. But this, I'll tell you something it did for me. It solidified my faith to understand that it is proven by science. Science proved what Jesus already knew. And you know why he's doing it now? He's bringing all this forward now. Because we're fixing to enter into a time we're going to need it. And this, by speaking faith all the time, let me just say something right now. God has promised us as a bride and the man child a lot of good things. A lot of good things. Some of the biggest ones have already come to pass, and I'll let David go into all of that. What you believe is what you're going to get. If you want to believe that you're going to be in the bride and you're doing everything that you know to do to be in the bride, bless God, you're going to be in the bride. But if you say, well, I don't know if I've got faith to die right, I don't know, well, you're not going to be in the bride. That's how quantum faith works. You speak it, you're going to have it. And I've said all along, if you believe, I've had people ask me, how do I know I want to be in the bride? How do you know I know I'm going to be in the man-child ministry? If you speak it and confess it and believe it, that's where you're going to be. That's what Jesus was taught. He taught that to all of us. Mark 11, 23 and 24. That is exact, that's quantum faith right there. And you walk in that faith and you talk that faith and don't talk against yourself. I hear people say, we talked about something this morning. Somebody said, well, what was it? They talking about being crazy or something like that. Said, oh, that's just, man, that's crazy. You know, not. You've got to speak the right things, confess the right thing. Jesus told us to think about what we say before we say it. Always think about what you're going to say before you say it. And when you think about what you say before you say it, you're going to be walking like Jesus. Remember what Jesus told us? He told us the things that you've seen me do, you're going to do. Well, how's that, Jesus? Because of your faith. And he said, greater things you're going to do. How's that, Jesus? You did some great things. Well, you're going to do those. You're going to do greater ones. Because he understood faith, quantum faith. He understood that. Yeah, Andrew or Benjamin.
I'm also just reminded of a topic that David brought up. And that we've talked about before, that the timeline of the believer and the timeline of the unbeliever.
Yep.
So I'm going to say this slowly because it's still getting mulled over in my head. So there's one timeline. It's the will of God. You're either partake of the will or you're used in his will. We're all at some point in our lives used in his will, but we can jump into that timeline of faith of being a partaker of what God wants. And we can think in that way. And if we're thinking in that way, then we can actually have that quantum faith in working it. It's, again, it's still getting mulled over in my head. So I'm probably not speaking what I'm thinking proper, but, that's just what came to my head when you were talking, Michael, is just that we have a choice. When it says in Deuteronomy, I give you a choice of life or death. We can choose and partake of being a partaker of Christ, of walking in that believer timeline, or we can choose the curse of being in the will of God, but being used of the will of God. And so once it's in front of you and you see it that way, we're obviously like, oh yeah, well, I'm obviously going to choose the believer's timeline. But it's something a little more in depth of God giving you the grace to walk in that faith, to be choosing life instead of death. Anyways, I'm starting to talk in circles a little, so I'll leave it at that.
No, that's fine. You're doing good. That's good. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead, Pat. Go ahead, Pat.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was fumbling. So I think that how I was making this connection, and maybe it's not like the foundational connection or whatever, but this is kind of the track that I have been on lately. And that is, of course, in Mark 11, 23-24 says, I'm reading out of this Quantum Faith, so this may not be absolutely accurate, but it says that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. So the connection, David's given a lot of examples and a lot of teachings related to speaking forth in agreement with God's word in any specific need that you have. And if we, the thing I believe that is so important maybe to grasp is that in these days that we are in, there's something a little, there's an additional aspect of faith, or shall we say the purpose of faith, that I believe the Lord is implementing now or training us to implement. And that is related to our original purpose and our original, maybe, first command, if you can look at it that way, in Genesis 1:26. Then God said, notice that God said, every one of these aspects or items of creation were all spoken into existence. And God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule. I'm reading out of the New American Standard. Let me just switch over to, and let them have dominion or rule over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heaven, over the cattle, over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them and said unto them, he said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, etc., etc., etc. And I believe that we are in the day when God is preparing his church to, in accordance to the prophecy of Daniel in these last days to bring down all of the prior kingdoms or empires, the spirits of those empires, and bring them down into and conquer that whole conglomeration of systems in this last day or in these last days. And I think it, I'm tying it back into this original commandment of God, and that our purpose is to take dominion and the subdue the world, take dominion, the original commandment that he gave Adam, and Adam lost, and Jesus regained the authority and the dominion at that time, but now, and has transferred it to us to carry it out in these last days. And the important part of that taking dominion and is exercising our authority, and the main ingredient in that process of taking and reestablishing, or shall we just say taking back dominion, is our speaking in agreement with what God has said in accordance to our faith. So, I'm taking it back to that foundation, is where I believe that we're at now, where the Lord has brought us to this point. Anyway, that's all I have to say.
Amen. That's right. Remember when he said in Luke 17:6, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you would say. Now, he was speaking right then about the smallest seed that could be seen in his time. Wonder what he would say today. If you had faith as an atom, might be. Or even smaller, if you had faith as a quark, which that's a subatomic particle. And the point he was making was that small things that can't be easily seen, they manifest themselves and affect things in this larger world where we live. Quantum physics is the study of things so small that we can't see them. But everything that we see is made of these subatomic particles.
Can you think of anything smaller than a word spoken?
That's pretty small.
Can't see it.
you can't see the word. You can't. But what happens when you see when you speak the word is those subatomic particles do whatever it is that they do, whether you speak in the negative or you speak in the positive, whether you speak according to God's word or you speak against it. And like who was it? Benjamin was talking about, you could be in the right timeline or the wrong timeline. And we've been both. We've all been in both. And the right timeline is the one to be in at all times. And you do that by confessing, just like you was talking about. God spoke, that's right, Gene. Let there be, and there was. Don't you imagine that God imagined in his mind first what he was going to do, and then he spoke it, and when he spoke it, it happened because he knew. Because he was a creator of the atomic quantum faith. Yeah, Bessie, go ahead. I hope I made myself a little bit clearer on this thing. Go ahead, Bessie.
Well, I was going to say something pretty simple along this whole thing. And you know, Michael, you made a statement that Jesus knew what quantum faith was. And what came to me was is that He was there. He was the firstborn of all creation. And then he spoke everything into being with the Father. He was, you know, he worked with the Father. And he spoke everything in being. That's, it was his nature, you know. That's that, you know, gosh. I mean, Lord, help us to get such a strong hold on the fact that we have just as much power in our words as Jesus and the Father.
Amen. Amen. And when we get a hold of that, Missy, once we get a hold of that and speak as Jesus did he ever speak bad against anything? The only thing he spoke bad against anything was the Pharisees that were plundering the people. That's the only time he ever spoke bad about anybody. He never even spoke bad about the king, did he? Or Herod, or whatever his name was. He didn't speak bad about him. He said, no, you ain't going to be the one who has to worry about this. These people over here are going to have to worry about this mess. Anyway, faith is believing that when you speak, it's going to happen. And you walk in that. Don't look back. I was telling somebody today that they were having a said it's a thunderstorm coming. I said, well, speak against it. Do like Jesus did. Peace be still. Go around. Whatever. We've done it, man. David has done it a number of times. Things just split and go around us. And that's, and I'm not saying we're anything other than me and David like to do that in order to build our faith up. You know? Yeah, Pat, go ahead.
Sorry, I don't mean to hog the floor, but I was actually reading this Hebrews. I was reading this article, skimming this article that you sent out on quantum faith.
Yeah.
And listen to this verse in the context of what we're talking about. Because to me, it really,
yep.
Just listen to this. By faith, this is 11 verse, Hebrews 11:3.
Yeah.
By faith, we understand that the worlds have been framed by the word of God. So that what is seen has not been made out of the things which appear, but they're not seen. We understand that the worlds have been framed by God's word, by God speaking forth his word, and that what is seen hath not been made out of the things which appear, but I'll add to that, but they've been made from the things that do not appear, such as God's word. So, I mean, I just in the context of what we're talking about there's a little bit different light on that verse for me, just showing the power of God's word and speaking in agreement with it. So
he spoke the word. Nothing was there, right? Nothing was there. He spoke the word. Things created. The subatomic particles that was in a cloud before he spoke came together and started creating the universe. That's the way I look at it. And that's the same way with your confessions. When you start confessing whatever it is that you need or want or have that are confessing about, if it's a healing, confess it every day. Confess it every day. Bless God, I'm healed. I don't care what the devil's trying to do to me. I know that I'm healed, bless God, and I'm going to and I'll walk in healing. I'll walk in divine health, glory to God. Yeah, Missy.
Another thing that came to me, like the parable of the sower, the sower went out and we know that the seed was the word, but whatsoever you sow, you shall reap. Everything that we say, we're going to reap unless we're quick to repent of what it is we say that's not according to God's word, that doesn't agree. The Lord just brings, he just reminds me all the time, shows me all the time in a lot of different ways, that this law of sowing and reaping. And it's just like, wow. So that's another aspect of it. We whatever we sow, we reap. Whatever we speak, we reap.
Absolutely. What you say matters, doesn't it? What you say matters. I like what Pat was saying. I want to go back to that. Here's what Steve McVeigh said about that, Hebrews 11:3. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Before God spoke and said, let there be light, the substance for light was there. The sound vibration of his words caused the substance to manifest and appear. Words are energy, and energy affects matter. The energy of your microwave vibrates the water molecules and heats the water. The energy of electricity flows to your washing machine and powers the motor that spins the tub and cleans your clothes. So we can rightfully say that energy affects matter. Your words are energy, and they affect the matter in your life. When you speak the words, this is the worst car I ever had, you stupid piece of junk, those words are vibrations of energy that affect the atoms that make up that car. And if you speak those words long enough, that car is going to obey you and be the worst car you ever had. And that's it in a nutshell. You got to speak the word. And quit cursing yourself and start blessing yourself and the people around you. Yeah, Pat, go ahead.
What was that he said? Words are energy, and what was it? What else was that?
He said, words are energy, and energy affects matter. The words you speak start making those subatomic particles going into creation. They start creating whatever it is that you start speaking. It's energy. Everything of this table here. Let's see. Let me think here just a minute. Your body is energy. Your body, subatomic particles go in and out 20,000 times per minute. Per second. In other words, it's on and off, 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 on and off. Like this. In other words, this table I'm seeing here is manifesting itself 20,000 times a minute through the vibration that it's creating. Everything has a vibration. Everything. Even those glasses you're wearing, they have a vibration. Even that ball cap and Anna's got on her head, it's vibrating. And the reason that we have to speak the blessings rather than the curses is because we want to be on the right side of that timeline. Stay in that timeline, that right timeline.
Sure. What? No, go ahead and finish your thought.
No, that's okay. I finished.
So the picture that I have been getting lately, I guess you might say, for probably the last few months, which is kind of tying a lot of this together, and that is, it's a picture of when we get saved, or when we get saved for the first time, shall we say, for our initial baptism into Christ. And we get translated, because of that, we get translated into the highest kingdom, the highest dominion in existence. And that's the dominion with the kingdom of God, kingdom of Christ. But as he said, we are as ambassadors, we're left here in this world. And the picture that I got was that we're in a river that is moving toward the end of time. And right now, as ambassadors, we are in this kingdom, and this kingdom, the direction of this river is moving into the end of the time for this world kingdom, this world kingdom. So we are moving, shall we say, we have a tendency to be moving forward with this kingdom toward the end of, let's just say, going south. However, God has translated us into his higher kingdom, and in essence has turned our boat in this river, this stream, turned it around the other direction, and we're going upstream by faith, by God's power, going against the tide of this world and going upstream. And we continue to overcome, to paddle, we continue to move up that stream, upstream, towards God by faith, by this quantum faith. And the moment, or the moment we decide to become passive, or not forcefully moving towards God by faith and walking with him to overcome, even as he overcame, the moment we become tacit, we start floating downstream with the world. And this is in a form, it can be in a form of tacit agreement, or a tacit agreement that I've been learning lately is agreeing, being counted in agreement with something as long as we don't voice opposition to it. In other words, somebody says, I'm going to do this, coming over, and I'm going to take that article out of the back of your yard, and because I believe it's mine. And we could say, no, you're not, because I'm going to stand out there and prevent you from doing it. And that person would be rejected from coming over and doing what he says. However, if we didn't respond at all, we were just totally silent, whether we agreed with what that person was saying or not, they're going to consider that we have agreed with them because we haven't responded back and rejected their statement. And they're going to come over and take what's in the backyard type thing. That's tacit agreement, and it happens within our it happens in this earthly kingdom all the time. And as a matter of fact, I believe that's what the devil uses in order to convey, or in order to make it think, make prove his point on a legal standing as far as before God in his accusations against us. He can say he has a certain leg to stand on, shall we say, or at least he believes he does, when he can come up before God and said, well, I did such and such in Pat's life, and he didn't say anything about it. Therefore, he was in tacit agreement to allow me to go ahead and do that. And so I'm getting off on a tangent here or anything, but I think the point being is this speaking into agreement with God's kingdom, God's word, is what keeps us moving against the grain and towards, keeps us moving upstream. And the moment we decide to become passive, we float downstream with the world in agreement, so to speak, with the world system and how it's taking us, where it's taking us. So anyway, that's all I had to say.
Go ahead, Missy.
When you said about Anna's hat, even Anna's hat vibrating, what came to me is just because we don't see something doesn't mean it doesn't exist. You know, it doesn't mean that it's not happening, you know, and, you know, we dwell in the heavenlies, right? We're seated with Christ. We dwell in the heavenly places, right? And that's on the faith timeline, you know. And we and from that perspective, everything's already done. We know that, you know, everything was God created the heavens and the earth and everything in it in 6 days, and on the seventh day he rested. What's so funny, y'all? Anyway, and so he rested. Everything was done, you know. So that's just some things coming to me about, you know, the whole faith and faith timeline and all, and we rule and reign with him, right? We're seated in the heavenlies, we rule and reign with him.
Supposed to be.
Yep.
Amen. I think Anna's got something she'd like to share. Put a little light note on everything.
Sorry, guys. I put it in the chat between Pat and Missy talking because I didn't want to interrupt Pat, but I guess I wasn't quick enough. But I recently told Obi about, you know, sound being vibration. He's like, what? How can that be? And so I started telling him, well, you can feel when daddy's drumming, can't you? You can feel it in the ground. He's like, wow. So he started to experiment with different things. And then we had some circumstance where he needed to be quiet and he was being way too loud. And I was like, Obi, you need to be quiet. He's like, I wasn't making noise. I was just making vibrations.
You know, boy. Oh, my, that's awesome. Yeah, he's a smart boy. And Mama, I wasn't making no noise. I was vibrating the world around. Praise God. That's awesome. Thank you, Lord. All right. All right. Anybody else on quantum faith? If not, I'd like to speak about something else here right quick. Or talk about the same thing, but in a different vein. It goes on, it says, scientists have performed experiments with atoms and their subatomic particles, such as electrons. If you paid attention in school, you saw the diagram of an atom with the electron orbiting it, like the Earth orbits the sun. The interesting thing is that scientists have discovered that the electron that is shown orbiting the nucleus is not always there in particle form. It exists in a wave state, like a cloud, everywhere at once, until someone looks at it. When the scientist observes it, it suddenly appears as a dot or a particle. And what we all want to know is, how does it know someone's looking at it? It obviously is responding to the observer's interaction with it. One of the difficulties in quantum physics is that the particles behave somewhat differently for each observer, which leads to the question, does it behave according to what the scientist believes? In any event, we can definitely conclude that Jesus was right when he taught that all matter responds to faith in works. The substance from which our world is made is influenced and manifested by words. The things that you desire are made up of atoms. They know what you believe, hear what you say, and behave accordingly. That upped my faith immensely when I read that. Does everybody understand what I said? So our faith is in what we say, how we say it, and the circumstances behind what we say. Yeah, Missy.
It just made me think of, you know, like Christian schools will teach intelligent design, you know? I mean, God's creation is even intelligent, you could say, because it obeys what you say, you know? That's just what came to me, you know? It's like, wow. I mean, it's like, it's creation. Yeah, it has an intelligence in the respect that, you know, it obeys what you say.
Listen, the way what I saw in this was it. We can create things with our words and the way we speak. They go on to say, the scientists go on to say that you can change your hair color with what you say. If you don't like your whatever color hair you got, you want a green hair, speak it into existence. I've seen it happen in Walmart all the time. Y'all know what I mean, don't you? What you say matters. And so that's why you should never curse anyone. You should always bless them. Yeah, Pat.
Michael, would you mind reading that again? I hate to say that, but
no, I don't mind at all.
Because I want to listen to that one more time, if you don't mind.
No, I don't mind at all. I had to get to it just a minute. Scientists have performed experiments with atoms and their subatomic particles, such as electrons. If you paid attention in school, you saw the diagram of an atom with the electron orbiting it like the Earth orbits the sun. The interesting thing is that scientists have discovered that the electron that is shown orbiting the nucleus is not always there in particle form. It exists in a wave state. He likens it onto a cloud everywhere at once. It's just all over the place. Until someone looks at it. When the scientist observes it, it suddenly appears as a dot or a particle. And what we all want to know is, how does it know somebody's looking at it? It obviously is responding to the observer's interaction with it. And one of the difficulties in quantum physics is that the particles behave somewhat differently for each observer, which leads to the question, does it behave according to what the scientist believes? In any event, we can definitely conclude that Jesus was right when he taught that all matter responds to faith and word. I'll say that again. All matter responds to faith and words. The substance from which our world is made is influenced and manifested by words. The things that you desire are made up of atoms. They know what you believe, hear what you say, and behave accordingly. That's quantum faith.
It's almost like you would say they have an awareness of their own.
No, I think you can say it.
All matter doesn't exist apart from God. So that is God. It's getting a little bit out there on the limb, but it's that it is a part of God's awareness, I guess, is what I'm thinking. Matter or atoms, as he's describing there, are a part of God's awareness, and they respond, those atoms respond to our faith and word. In agreement with God, I guess you might say, or I might say.
Well, let's do it this way. God set up this system for his people, and he taught us what to do in his word to make us like Jesus. We speak, remember, what is it? 2 Corinthians 3:18. See the end from the beginning. You know, you look at yourself as Jesus all the time. You look at yourself. You're seeing yourself as Jesus. Look at that. That's Jesus. Glory to God. I'm going to go out here. I'm going to be such a light for the world. And you will be. That's what faith is. I believe. This is me, you know, just a faith thing. I believe that we're going to be able to provide for the man-child ministry, whatever they need. And if you really believe that, and you keep on confessing that, guess what's going to happen? Woo, somebody can get blessed. I'm telling you, that's what faith is. And you will receive abundantly above anything that you could ever imagine. In any aspect of your walk with Jesus. Lord, I thank you that I'm going to walk in divine health. And I praise you, Father, that that's what it's going to be. I don't accept anything else. This is the holy temple of God. the devil ain't got no right in here, bless God, and that's where I'm going to walk. And Lord, I thank you that when a germ of disease or a virus hits my skin, it dies right there in Jesus' name. You know, and you keep on speaking it, confessing it, you'll be walking in divine health. Lord, I thank you that you'll give me the words to say to this lost person that will bring him right into the kingdom. And I thank you, Lord, for granting repentance to him and bringing him in. Guess what will happen? He's coming in. Keep on speaking. That's what the true gospel is all about. It's faith. Everything that we do, it hinges on faith. Everything. Well, God just don't do that anymore. Okay. Then guess what? You ain't walking in it. Well, God don't heal anymore. Okay, guess what? You better use them doctors, them killing doctors, murdering. Well, I don't say anymore. But anyway, that's what God has called us to be, is faith-filled sons and daughters of God. And I'm realizing it more and more every day that the things that we say mean something. Just like we talked about a while ago that I read there about that car, that's been a junker ever since I bought it. I should have never bought that car, bless God. It's one of these days I'm going to be out on the interstate and that thing's going to fall down and I'm going to have to hitchhike back. You know, that kind of stuff there. Or you said, man, that's the best truck I ever had. Glory to God. It's a 2007, but that is a fine, fine vehicle. Glory to God. I get 25 miles to the gallon in it. You know, you speak the blessings on everything that you have. Yeah, Missy.
Well, what's coming to me is you know, it doesn't matter if we have not manifestly overcome a sin. It doesn't matter because then we're looking at our old man in the mirror. But what matters is, you know, you speak the promises over yourself. I'm dead in sin, alive in the God. I've been crucified with Christ. I don't live anymore. I've overcome this sin, that sin, or, you know, or whatever. You just speak it. And God, it just happens. That's all you have to do is agree with it and speak it. And it happens. It's none of your effort. It's grace. For by grace you have been saved through faith. It is a gift of God, not of works, that no man should boast. You know? And
amen.
So, praise the Lord.
Yeah. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else? I hope this is encouraging people to start speaking the blessings. Because whatever you speak comes out of your mouth affects what's going to happen that day. I would like to read this. I'm going to read it because I believe it's going to help somebody. The thoughts and beliefs that you carry also produce an energy around you. Have you ever noticed that when you're angry, things go wrong and people are insulting and angry with you? Your thoughts and beliefs produce an energy that people can perceive and react to. And if you believe that no one likes you, then you emit that rejecting type of energy and people will be driven away from you. And if you love people and care about them, they will feel that and be drawn to you. Have you ever been around someone who is pleasant and full of love? It's an energy you can actually feel. The energy of love is a powerful drawing card for good in your life. After all, God is love. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. I've known people with that spirit of rejection. And they're hard to be around at times. Well, I just don't know why I can't get my prayers answered. I prayed. I was in there for 10 minutes, bless God, and I couldn't get a thing out of it. You know, stuff like that. You got to start speaking. I'm dealing with people right now that have issues with anger. You know how to overcome anger? Anybody know how to overcome anger? Yeah, Missy. I said, go ahead, Missy. If she froze up, she froze up. Yeah, she froze up with her hand up. She's missing some fingers there.
Come on. There we go. you were all froze to me. Anyway, I'll tell you my story of when I first got on the outreach and I started going through deliverance and stuff. And boy, I had a real bad temper and anger issue and stuff like that. And I tell you what helped me overcome it is every time I was snippy or slight bit angry or whatever, you know, towards Merle or Alex, it's more towards Merle, but I'd apologize. I'd humble myself and I'd apologize. And that helped me overcome quicker than anything else was to apologize. And one time I said to Merle was, I must be the sorriest person that ever walked the earth, you know, because I was saying I'm sorry all the time, you know. But that's what helped me. It really helped me overcome anger.
What's the name of that book that talks about that? Unforgiveness. In that book about unforgiveness, it talks about anytime that you get angry with somebody, that's unforgiveness. And if you died right then, like that African preacher did when he started getting mad at his wife, the Lord took him to hell and showed him. This is what you can't, getting mad ain't going to help you. Showing that love will help you. Yeah, Anna.
I just wanted to share kind of a funny little testimony. Recently, I was mad at Matthew for something stupid. And I don't even remember what it was. That's how dumb it was. It was just something little. And I was just feeling like irritated, like, why'd you do this? Whatever it was. And I grab my water bottle and I take a drink and I start choking. And I was like, oh man, Lord, like life is so fragile. Like you're always just a breath away. And I was like, what if I died right now? Like it was like funny, but it was also very serious. Like I could go to hell for something so stupid. You know, because you're just a breath away. And, but it was kind of funny because I was like, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. And as I'm choking, I'm like, thank you, Lord. You know, you don't let me, you know, think on these things. So thank you, Lord.
Hey, well, that's true. Go ahead, Julie.
I think one of the first places in the Bible where they're talking about anger is Cain, when Cain and Abel. When he was angry at his brother. But the Lord told him, this is Genesis 4. Let's see. What verse is that? No, I lost it. Okay. Verse 4 and 4. And Abel, he also brought up the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had no respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shall it not be lifted up? And if thou doest not well, sin crouches at the door. And unto thee shall be as desires, but do thou rule over it. God told him, rule over it. You must subdue it. You must rule over it.
Rule over it.
Rule over it. Don't give into it, you know. I think that's the first time we see it in the Bible is, you know, and what did he do? He slew his brother.
You remember what that pastor did after he came back from hell, don't you? He said, every time that I felt anger rising up in me, I'd run, go in the bathroom, lock a door, and go to pray. I said, that'd do it. If the Lord took you to hell, showed you what your end result would be if you did change your ways, you know. All right, Missy.
Yeah, I just want to say, you know, the whole forgiveness part thing too, you know. It's like I had this generational curse of from my great grandmother to my grandmother to my mom to me, you know, of anger and bitterness and unforgiveness, and it was really a curse. And that's really the root of it is unforgiveness. And when you start, you know, recognizing that anger is unforgiveness, and you start realize, you know, and like lots of times that anger comes out in criticalness or judgment or whatever like that, and then you stop and think, well, that was, you know, you start realizing how stupid it is to criticize or whatever it is, you know. I mean, it's just myself, you know, because I'm not getting my way, you know. One thing that the Lord showed me, there's nothing more miserable than thinking about yourself. You know, when you think about yourself, you're always striving for yourself and you don't get what you want, then you're unforgiving and you're critical and you're judging and, you know, well, they don't do it like I do it, and I do it right and they do it wrong, and, you know, blah, 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 you know? So thank you, Lord, for delivering me from all that. Praise you, Lord.
That unforgiveness is real subtle, too. I was talking to someone the other day, and I said, well, have you forgiven everybody? Oh, yeah, I've forgiven everybody. I said, well, when this person comes up in your mind, what do you feel like? Well, I'll start thinking about the things that they did to me, you know. I said, that's unforgiveness. That's how subtle the enemy is. I said, that's unforgiveness. You ready to get rid of that? Oh, yeah. If I got it, I got to get rid of it. You got to be real careful about what you think about. Don't think on those things. Start praying for them. You start praying for them, and that bitterness or that anger, unforgiveness will leave you. It will. A lot of people don't understand. Well, yeah, I laid him on the altar. I don't even think about it anymore. Then I ask him, you know, I ask this one person, I said, how do you feel when you think about it? Well, I always think about the time that you're still bringing up stuff. That's unforgiveness. It's real subtle. That enemy is real subtle. Got to take care of it. Okay. Anybody else? Yeah, Anna.
I just want to say something about that. Lord's delivered me a lot of unforgiveness and anger and different things. But of course he's still peeling back the layer sometimes. And I was having a trial recently with the kids and just feeling frustrated with them and then with myself for failing and kind of round and round. And the Lord spoke to me and said, basically to paraphrase, I don't remember exactly, but to paraphrase, he basically said, you know, that verse about you overcome evil with good. And I was like, yeah. And he's like, you overcome evil thoughts by having good thoughts. And it's like such a duh moment, but I hadn't really thought about it as thoughts. I don't know. I guess I thought it was like works or something. I'm not sure. But the Lord, at least for my case, he was telling me like, no, you know, you need to replace those thoughts. And I already knew that, but when he spoke it, it just sunk deeper, you know. So thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Come on, Joe. Thank you, Anna.
I was thinking about what you just said about laying it on the altar. I think most problem is people is laying it on the altar, but the hands is still on there. I haven't just leave it for the Lord, but when I move, the hands is still on there. If you give it to the Lord, when you have to stand back and look at it, what it is. So in other words, your hand mustn't be on that. In other words, you can take it back if your hand is on it. So you must leave it for the Lord. And that's just thinking about that.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yep. Yeah, Missy.
I've learned, you know, I can truly forgive somebody for something. But, you know, the enemy will bring in a fiery dart and remind you, you know, of what that person did. And it's like, and if you entertain it and start thinking about it, you can take unforgiveness back towards that.
Yeah. Uh-oh. I forgive you for freezing up. Look at that mouth. I want to put her up there in the...
Behave yourself. I hear everything you're saying.
Oh.
Oh, what man. Was I saying? Oh, help me, Lord. If I think about that fiery dart, you know, what that person did me, even though I've forgiven them and I entertain it and think about it, I can take unforgiveness back. I can get back into unforgiveness towards that person. So it's like you know, I've learned that I have to cast it down right away and, you know, say, no, I've forgiven that person and pray for that person, you know, speak blessings concerning that person, you know. So, yeah.
I'm reminded of the story, and I've told it on here before, but I won't tell it again. That Kenneth Hagin told about the boy in his hometown that was a bully, big old boy, he's a bully. And he'd get drunk, he'd go out and fight, not stupid, you know. And one time he did that, and he got in a fight, and the sheriff had to shoot him, because he's fixing to jump on him. And a lot of the men were, the next few days, were talking about this guy, and they were just glad to see that he wasn't around anymore. And they had this guy never talk bad about anybody. Never talk bad. And they'd always try to get him to talk bad about somebody. And they tried to get him to talk bad. Well, what do you think about old so-and-so, the bully? Said, are you glad that he's not around us anymore? Da-da-da. He's such a bad person. They said, what do you think about him? And he told him, he thought a minute. He said, you know, he had pretty blue eyes. Turned around, walked off. That's the way we ought to be. That's the way we ought to be. Boy, we like to sit up there and chew them up, spit them out, don't we? I thought about that story a lot. Yeah, it's rooted in, I'm better than you are. All right, anybody else on atomic and subatomic particles and quantum faith? Well, I'll tell you what, I'm glad we're talking about it because it helps me. I don't know if it helps y'all or not, but it helps me to understand it. Everything that I say in the positive goes for me and for the kingdom also, you know. When you speak those things, like we're talking about, thank you, Lord, that I'm going to be in the man-child ministry. I'm going to be in the bride. I'm going to be this. I'm going to be that. I'm going to be doing the things that you want me to do, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that I'm going to be able to hear your voice every step that I take and that you're going to be guiding and leading us every step of the way. And I praise you for it, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that everybody in this group here and that's listening also are going to start speaking the truth of the gospel, the true word of God, and start speaking faith rather than curses And Father, we just praise you and we glorify you that this group here is going to be in the bride. Everybody's going to be in the bride that's listening, because they're going to have the faith to believe it. They're going to walk in it. Not only that, the promises that you've made the bride are going to come to pass in their life. In Jesus' mighty name. Anybody dispute that? Raise your hand. Look, Julie, quit. Amen. Thank you, Father. Lord, yeah.
Glory. Praise the Lord. I'm just receiving what you said, Michael.
Amen. I know. I know. I was trying to trick you. Thank you, Lord. I ain't going to have this, Julie. Thank you, Lord. Well, you know, there's a lot of things. I'll say this, too. There's a lot of things that goes on that we might have problems with believing. But I want you to understand something. Just because you don't believe some things that you hear doesn't mean it's not coming to pass. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of things that are new coming out to people that they don't understand, and they start having this disbelief about them, about what's going on. I'll tell you something. Just remember this. There ain't nothing but truth coming out. There's nothing but truth coming out. That's it. There's nothing but truth. There are things happening that we've prayed about that you read about in the news the next day. That's a natural fact. Yeah, Andrew.
So if we take 1 Timothy 6:12, and it says, fight the good fight of the faith. You know, I don't know what people think about that word fight, you know, because it sounds aggressive, but that's what you're doing through your internal character that you have attained through Christ. Because the next part of that says, lay hold of eternal life. And that eternal life needs an eternal word. And that eternal word is the word of God, and that's who you abide in, the name called the word of God, who is Jesus Christ in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Whereunto thou was called. And that calling is, I would have to say it's a progressive calling too, because we mature in this eternal life. And didst confess the good confession. So here's the word of God, because it's good, and good is a Holy Spirit word. It's the Holy Spirit proof. It's a good confession. And in the sight of many witnesses. Now, a witness is, this is a good verse for communal belief, because we are to be witnesses of our Lord. We witness, we agree. The witness is the word. The witness is what we're speaking, what we're uttering. Our utterance has to be in accordance with the sweet utterance. Just like the guy said, he had really nice eyes. So that sweet utterance has to always come out of our mouths, which is very hard when, like, especially if you're going to pass some time listening to something that's really destructive, like the news or something. You don't want to do that because it's not healthy to constantly hear people fighting all the time. And that's the big problem. That's why you know your country is different from what it used to be. And, you know, you can go back to a time not too far. And, like, especially for some of us who are over 50, you know, we can probably tell you of a very much more innocent time. Though things were going on then, they just covered it up better. And so we look to this fight. This is the fight of your Christ in you, defending you, but fighting for others too. So that's an important verse, and it's the good fight of the faith. And goodness is also that same fruit of the Holy Spirit. And the faith, well, is the righteous shall live by faith. And who, what kind of life is this? Who are we living for? Who is this faith person that's in us? You know what Jesus told us about faith, eh? He told us to have the Father's faith. And Jesus abides in the Father. And there's a verse in chapter 10 of John. I think it's verse 30. I read it to Ben. And very few words. I and the Father are one. And we carry that within us. And we remember the days when we were very excited about that. And we should never leave that position. And it's an exciting thing to have the Father and the Son living within you. This vibration that we speak, is it you? Or is it the Father? Or is it the Father saying, okay, go ahead, son, let's see what you can do. So, you know, you try to imitate that. And you know, it tells you to imitate the Father. In Ephesians, you know, if you want to be analytical about it, it's in Ephesians 5:1. Be imitators of God as beloved children. And you see, there's a reversal there. It doesn't say be imitators of God the Father, but you know He's Father because He's calling you a beloved children and walk in love. So there's the obedience. So the obedience that never fails. The concept of God never lying to us, as it says in Hebrews somewhere, really enforces us to be more confident. You know, when we were small, we were confident in that. And even if you had not really good dads, you were still confident in dad. I know the girls, daughters, have that longer time of confidence in dad because it is daddy's little girl and almost boy, but we have a Father in heaven that is almighty, and this is His word. So it, you know, when you're reading Genesis chapter 1, you go, wow, look what God did, look what. But you don't tend to think of Him as your Father back then. And he was. Because you know He was, because you even have that predestined verse before the foundations of the world. So we got something so huge that we don't even fathom it sometimes. And that's you know, I sometimes wonder if we could donate some time to just talking about stuff like what we have within us as the Father and the Son, and the power and the might of it, yes, but the care He has for us too. Because we all had parents, or some of us are parents, and that's just really mighty. And I just want to really, push that encouragement up to a different level. But I can't do that. But you know this is true. So what am I going to say about that, you know? Like, if the Father's watching us at all, He knows everything going through your mind. So... It almost makes you force a smile as if you were candid camera. Because if you're not going to smile for that, you know, come on. And most of you are little babies anyway, so you might as well smile. We're children of God, you know, and it's just in today's day we're faced with all this negativeness that can rub off on a person. So we say no. That, the Father's not giving us that. He's sovereign. He's given us the positive. He's given us the good report. He's given us the deliverances, the provisions, the attitude of the Father on what's going on today. And he wants you to desire that, you know, those verses where he doesn't want any of his children faltering or coming to that place where they stumble, or when it talks about the little child don't fashion yourself a millstone, because you don't want that millstone and you don't want to give it to anyone else. There's verses in the Bible that show you that you can even come against the conscience of a man who is not a Christian to give him something that's not right. I was reading in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I think it's verse 32, where you got to look after the consciousness, or don't harm a person who is a Jew or a Gentile or the Church of God. So there you have it. You know, you know, you have some people there that are from different religious backgrounds, but some of them, you know, they might, you know, I remember talking to one of them. He was from Islam, and I said, Islam people believe in creation, so I tested it out. And he was happy to hear that, you know. He's got his righteousness by the law, but we got our righteousness by the fulfillment of the law. And that fulfillment of the law is that power of God that we have, the new life, the new existence, the very nature of Christ in us is that fulfillment. The grace and the faith is in the fulfillment. All the fulfillment of that word of God, which is Jesus in you. So that is a very powerful thing that we have attained. And sometimes I don't know if we meditate on this enough. I certainly could use a bit more meditation on my Father so that I can imitate him better. I want that love. Why not? Who else are you gonna? There's no one else. I don't know who you plan to leave your soul with, but I ain't trusting my soul with any person but the head of the church, the overseer of your soul, the bishop of your soul, if you want to do that, King James Version. You got to leave your soul with Jesus and the Father. Praise and glory to God. Anyway, I hope I encourage the people to vibrate better. Because even I, you know, it would have sounded better if your son said it, though. What happened today, because everyone could share things like that. And sometimes the little children might be left out, but that's just a wonderful thing. Praise God. Glory to God.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Go ahead, Pat.
I think I forgot what I was going to say. I was got tied up into what Andrew was talking about there, but I would just
That's okay, Mike. Pat, you were thinking of your you were thinking of your father.
That's it. And then in verse 13, the verse after Andrew talked about fighting the good faith, it said, I charge thee in the sight of God, who giveth life to all things. And I was thinking about, you know, obviously the things is not in the Greek or whatever, but giveth life unto all. And we think, you know, you obviously the first thing you think about is life as far as our, you know, our body, our vitality, our, the spirit that God breathes into us, gives us life, his life. But that to all, again, in light of what we're talking about, the frequency of matter and all matter, and just the thought that, matter has, or atoms have, an awareness. When you think about, and that awareness is in God, or God is in all matter in that awareness. But you think of that, scripture that it says, God who giveth life to all, even to every atom, every quark, every whatever, or even the things that are not seen, like who giveth life to imagination or to words. You know, his word, Hebrews 4:12, the word of God is living. And its own life force. But anyway, that was kind of a tangent on what, yeah, I guess meditating along with Andrew there and what he's talking about. And then of course it finishes up with, in verse 15, which in its own times, he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate. I don't know what that word potentate means. I have to look that up, but the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, we know who that is, who only hath immortality dwelling in light, unapproachable, in light. And what is, you know, what is light? Light is frequency or vibration. And so what I originally was going to mention, and that was, I was keying off of what Michael said about, I don't remember exactly what the point was, but was going to give the example of, when I was reading or studying or becoming aware of what happened, you know, at 9/11 in the Trade Towers and the destruction there and that whole process. And, of course there was some people at the time, realized, you know, after they started looking into it and looking at the movies and the videos and the presentations and this and that, began to realize that the evidence, really pointed to a, not a, an accident or an attack, but that there was an aspect of a controlled demolition in that situation or that action that happened there. And, but I remember reading at the time when I was going through, you know, studying all that, that the people, I'm going to say the people responsible for pulling it off realized that there wouldn't be, you know, that they could easily bat the, that that down, shall we say. And the reason they gave was that the thought of those buildings being intentionally destroyed in order to pull off, or for nefarious purposes, shall we say, would also indicate a strong indication that we as a population or as a country or whatever were not really in control. That we, the things that we thought really run this country and, you know, are voting every 4 years to bring in a president to such and such to, you know, that whole scenario that happened in 9/11 is an indication that those that we thought were in control are not in control, that there's really somebody else behind the scenes, behind the curtain, that's pulling the strings or the levers of you know, authority. And the reason that they did not concern themselves or worry about it that much is because, and this was the statement that was made, that type of awareness or that conclusion or that consideration was beyond the bandwidth of the American people or the world, shall we say. And what did they mean? It was beyond the bandwidth. It wasn't in the frequency, it wasn't in the frequency spectrum that people wouldn't tune into it. They wouldn't be able to accept that. They wouldn't be able to consider that as an option because of the extreme fear of the realization of what it meant if that were the case. And so because of that, those that did rise up and start bringing up issues or thoughts about that were easily discounted by calling them, say, truthers or conspiracy theorists. You know that the word conspiracy theorist was a term that was created in the 50s or 60s, I think, by the CIA while they were up before Congress on some sort of investigation or something. I don't remember what it was, but that was when it was first termed. The CIA created it. And of course, it's a propaganda, a tool that they use to divert your eyes away from looking at the evidence, shall we say. But anyway, so I just thought it was kind of interesting that they described that as being outside of the frequency band or of the American people, which I didn't understand exactly what I kind of understood, but I didn't understand it specifically. But again, it has to do with vibration or frequency and what you're willing to look or see, or, you know, there's something, a connection with all of that, in there. So it's kind of, to me, it's kind of interesting. But anyway. Hunter.
Amen. Thank you, Pat. Yep. I see it. Yeah, that conspiracy theorist, it denigrates the people that come against them. They try to denigrate the people that can call them conspiracy theorists, when in fact all the conspiracies are truth. Just about it. All right. Anybody else? I'm going to read this too. Faith energy. Faith is an unseen energy force. It's not matter, but it creates matter and actually becomes matter. The faith that you use to call forth the manifestation of healing or finances changes form when the manifestation takes place. That's because faith energized words convert energy to matter. Words are the catalyst that turns the substance of faith into physical manifestation. Faith is the raw material from which all matter is made. Hebrews 11:1 says that faith is the substance. It is the invisible substance from which your physical world was and is created. God used faith substance and word energy to create the universe. He spoke, and the vibration sound of his words released the substance that became the stars and planets. Words are the carrier of substance. They carry the substance to wherever it is directed. And if you direct your faith to the healing of your body, then your words carry healing energy to the cellular level of your body. On the vibrations of your words, faith substance is carried to your body where it becomes healing substance. Just as God created the universe by faith substance and word energy, you create your own universe by your faith and your words. And if you don't like what you have created, you can change it by what you speak. Amen. I thank you, Lord. I've got the body of a 30-year-old man, Lord of God. And I thank you, Father, that I walk in divine health, and everybody here does too. Not only that, but anytime any kind of disease, germ, or virus tries to attack my body, it dies a natural death right there the instant it touches me. Because we are the holy temple of God. We praise you, Father. Glory be to God. Yeah, Anna.
Can I share a quick dream?
Sure.
Sorry, I'm not trying to talk too much. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay. I had a dream a while back where, where I heard David Timischuk's voice. He was the one narrating the dream and explaining it to me. But his voice was like following me while I was going. And he was explaining to me that our words basically are eternal. And he was explaining that they go on and on. Like, you don't just say it and it stops. Like, you know, how we perceive it. You hear a sound and it stops and that's it. He was explaining to me how your words and the things that you say go on throughout eternity. And I could hear, I don't remember if it was his voice or my voice, but I could hear a voice and the things that were said going throughout eternity. It was not on repeat. I can't explain it because it's not something we actually have in this physical realm, but I could hear like the words, like they're just always hearable. And a little bit like a ripple effect. Yeah. It wasn't like an echo, and it wasn't, like I said, it was not on repeat. It was just, they were always hearable, and it was like transcending time, like without just going forward and out. And it's so hard to explain, but after the dream, I thought, wow, what we say is really important. So thank you, Lord.
Man, that's a good dream. That tells you that what you speak stays there until eternity. I guess. Sounds to me like it does. Yeah, Missy.
It reminds me of, they say that light never stops. It's like you shoot a beam of light out or whatever from a flashlight or whatever. It never stops. Haven't you heard that?
I've heard that the Lord, when he spoke, let there be light, he never did say stop. It's still going out there.
Whatever, but yeah. But the light just, you know, it just keeps going on and keeps shining. And it makes me think of that because... And then... Isn't there something, I can't explain it, but there's something about light with the quantum. Everything is about light with the quantum faith.
I'm not sure what you might be speaking about. I don't remember. She froze up again. Look at that. She never freezes with her mouth closed. It's always open. I don't understand that.
Stop it. Stop it. Anyway, isn't there something with the whole quantum faith thing? And then name of Jesus, I forbid this to do this again on me. Isn't there something about the light and quantum faith? I forget what it is, but there's something about that. I can't say it, but I think it relates to what Anna was saying.
It could. Yeah, it could. I don't remember right now, right off the top of my head. Yeah, Pat may have the answer.
Guaranteed I don't. But I just wanted to, when I got out of school, college, and I might have told this story before, but I I was buying a television repair business type thing. And I went over to this guy. This guy lived in Oregon. I went over to this. This guy was about 80. He was very old, probably 80s or something like that. And he had big, thick glasses at the time. I mean, I could remember those, just those round glasses and very thick, you know. And this guy was a talker. And he had stuff. I mean, tubes and, you know, circuits and this and that. And the stories that he was telling me, but, according to this guy, and this could all be a lie, I don't know, but, you know, I believed him at the time. He was an engineer, one of the engineers for General Electric back in the late 30s that created the first television broadcast. Talked about that and what they did. And he had met Thomas Edison at some point, told me he was a shyster and all that sort of stuff. But anyway, he told me about this, this receiver, because they were into, you know, this is radio reception and tuning and all that sort of thing and frequencies. And, you know, if you know how a radio works by tuning, you know, receiver for a different to pick up different frequencies, et cetera. He told me that, and I don't know if this was Edison that created it, but he was telling me about this receiver that they had, that he had worked on, or Edison created. And if, again, I might be getting my stories mixed up, but anyway, he was working on this. And what it was a receiver based upon what Anna was mentioned about sound going out and never ends. It just goes out into the atmosphere, so to speak, and it goes out. And what it actually does, according to him, is that it works like a ripple effect. It will go off and bounce off of things in the, you know, in the environment and come back upon itself. And like a ripple in a pond does, and it hits itself and then it bounces back out again. And it loses, amplitude or power as it's going back and forth and back and forth. However, it never is eliminated. It never dies out. It just gets smaller and smaller and smaller. And according to him, he was able to create this system that was able to detect that frequency or whatever and pick up on that frequency. And of course he told me, for the longest period of time, Edison put it down because he thought it was demonic and he was picking up spirits or something. And so he put it down because it came back in a garbled mess. It was always a garbled type of mess. Well, this guy that I was talking to realized that the problem when it was coming back in a garbled mess is that it was coming back reversed. And as he realized that, they started recording the stuff and then playing it backwards and you could understand the sounds, the words. Now he took this to another level and was contacted by police departments in various places, or he contacted them, and he took this machine over to a place of the scene of the crime, so to speak, and recorded stuff and then played it backwards, and they were evidently able to use that information. Again, strange story, strange dude, but I just throw it out there because of what Anna said, that all that vibration is still out there. You just have to have the ears to hear, in order to pick it up. So, anyway.
I believe it was Nikola Tesla talked about Edison being not a very good guy. So we'll leave it at that. He stole some bitches from it, according to him. Anyway, anybody else on quantum faith or anything right now? We got just a minute left. Yeah, Missy. Lord, don't let her freeze up with her mouth. And Lord, God,
yeah,
thank you, Jesus.
I just wanted to say, I think I might have been teaching at some point somewhat. So, Lord, give me the grace to not do that. Help me to wear things properly that I'm not teaching. Thank you, Lord.
Okay. All right. Lord, forgive her if she was. Don't you never do it again, though. You know what I'm saying? No, I don't know if you were or not. It sounded like you were just relating to stuff. All right. Yeah. Anybody else? Lord, bless us. Bless us with quantum faith. Bless us, Lord, to be able to speak nothing but positive and blessings upon people. And wherever we walk, let us be a love light for everybody. And I praise you for that, Father. Glory be to God. Lord, I thank you for this time coming ahead. I thank you, Father, for the things that you have provided already for us. I thank you, Lord, for faith for everybody in the bride to believe that God is going to provide the things that he said he was going to provide and to speak it. Confess it and believe it. And Father, we praise you for that. We praise you, Father, for bringing out quantum faith here in these last days like you have, that really just accentuates what you've already taught us in your word. And we thank you for it, Father. We praise you. We glorify you for all that you're doing. Forgive us of our sin. Forgive us of our thought life that's not according to your word. And forgive us for saying things that we shouldn't say, that we would speak as an oracle of you, Lord. and I thank you for it. I praise you, Lord, for all my brothers and sisters here, that tonight their head hits the pillow, they're going to get a good night's sleep, wake up in the morning supernaturally supercharged and ready to go again. Father, we thank you for that. Lord, we ask and we pray that everybody that you want to be present tomorrow night's broadcast, and we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. All right, love y'all. We'll see y'all again tomorrow night, possibly. Y'all be blessed, you hear?